Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons. I just want to say thank you to everyone who listened to the last episode and a little apology because I realised afterwards that I didn't have the microphone plugged into the laptop, which is an absolute rookie error, but I'm trying to allow myself a little bit of room for error because I am a rookie. But hopefully this episode, the quality will be a lot better. And on this episode, I have Stephanie Barry Woods. And Stephanie has recently been named one of the top travel bloggers in Ireland. And I'm very lucky to call Steph one of my friends. And I wanted to bring Steph on this episode because she has so many practical tips and experience with traveling, but also because she lives a life of freedom that so many people might feel is out of their reach. And on this episode, we talk about why we think somebody should travel, how to make money from travel blogging, what Bali is like now, how to do things on a budget. And we also talk about technology because Steph now has courses to get women setting up their own freelance tech businesses. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Please hit subscribe or follow wherever you are listening as it'll really help the show grow and help me bring on bigger guests. So yeah, that's it. I will let you enjoy. Okay, so Steph, how are you?
I'm good, really good. Excited to be on.
Okay. We'll pretend we weren't just chatting for ages to catch up beforehand
because first time I've seen you in
we are old friends. Well, old friends, and I suppose in the digital nomad world, we first met in 2018.
Yeah,
when I stayed in your house.
Yeah,
I was like going to Bali, and I was like, anyone any recommendations? Like, you have to follow this Irish travel blogger, and got in touch, and you happened to be going away, and I stayed in your house while you were gone.
Yeah,
we were. And minded your dog.
Low. You did. She was pretty badly behaved, but you did a great job.
And it taught me a lot. And, you know, I have to learn for these kind of things that are coming up in my own life.
Exactly.
So, first question, what's the weather like in Thailand in July?
Oh, my God. You clearly haven't been watching a thing if you don't know.
No, explain why I would have asked you that.
Well, I'm a travel blogger, travel Instagrammer, and based mainly in Southeast Asia. And I kind of ended up involuntarily as Southeast Asian weather guide, I think, with where to go, when to go. So I'm pretty much constantly fielding weather questions, which I keep answering.
Yeah, I mean, I still get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know. And I think it's like people, I mean, I do this sometimes. I ask my followers things and I'm like, I should have Googled that, you know? And like, so I get it. Like, people don't even see Google as the first source of information. They want people.
Yeah.
And I can understand that. But yeah, and that's why you have highlights, you have blogs. And I have to say, your blog is just another level. You know, I used to call myself a travel blogger, but really I was just, I don't know what, I was traveling and taking some pictures and put them on Instagram, but I wasn't. When I saw what you do and the effort that you put in to your website, your pictures, everything, that made me realize, like, oh, this is what travel blogging is supposed to look like. So I always kind of wondered, you know, why you do that and like, what do you get from it?
That's interesting. I actually resisted creating a blog for about a good year after we started to travel. And I wanted to just do Instagram only, and I just wanted to like write pretty, like create pretty pictures, and then I wanted to edit them. And then I just ended up like, I started sharing like where we were and just their classic sunset pictures and iconic shots of places everyone would go to. And I started sharing like where it was and how to get there and the earliest time to get there and the cheapest way to get there. And then I just kept getting all these tags from people who were able to go to these places. And when I'd, you know, write back to them and I'd be like, that's amazing. They'd be like, I never thought I could come here. You know, I always thought like it seemed so far away and so impossible to go here, but like you can do it, so I can do it. And then I think that was like the driving force behind everything, was this idea that like, you actually could be the difference between somebody not taking the trip and taking the trip. And that feels like such a like privilege and such a cool thing to do. So I feel like that's the biggest driver of everything, is like you hear back from people who have done just some unbelievable things because you put up a post and all you got to do is spend half an hour prepping a post. And like, it gives a lot of people a lot of opportunity. It's cool. It's really rewarding. It's a really rewarding thing to do. If I have to say, like, that's why I kind of put the effort in.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I used to write the odd blog. Like, if I had been to Thailand, I did a bit of traveling around Thailand, mainly to stop people's questions, or not to stop, but, you know, because you wanted you couldn't reply in one message about where to go in Thailand, you know. And so it was just somewhere to point people. But I always say the level of effort that you put in, and the detail is a cream of the crop. And so I always wondered, and that you, I think you kind of answered it there already, but like, did you think it was viable to make money? Like, was it, sounds like that wasn't the driving factor initially.
No.
But did you think it was possible to make money from blogging?
I knew it was. I definitely didn't know the extent to which it was until I started meeting people in Bali and they were earning crazy amounts. I always thought it was like paid collaborations and free stays and paid partnerships and stuff like that. That was always my assumption of the route for travel bloggers. It was free stays that you wrote about. And I didn't realize that you could really like monetize your blog to the extent that you could just come up with an idea and put it out there and create a product and stuff. I just didn't know that was possible until I started meeting people, you and Becca and Nadine in Bali, and we started kind of awakening a bit more on entrepreneurial side. And I think that was only when I realized it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even touched on it yet, but like there's so much more to your business mind than just travel blogging. And I definitely want to talk about that because I think I can learn a lot from that. But to stick with the travel, I really wanted to, anyway, we'll get to that.
Okay.
But the travel, like, so I always think, and I love what you said there. I always say, like, what would you say to somebody who's never left Ireland? You know, someone who is kind of thinking, why should I travel? That was something I've always tried to convey. You know, you put up a picture in a bikini and I'm like, you know, travel is the new rich or something. I don't know. Used to get a decent picture and be like Googling travel quotes to try and inspire people to go. But what would you say is the beauty of travel, or the advantage of travel, or the gains that you get in your life?
I think the biggest gain you get is learning about, like, seeing how big the world is, right? And what a small part of the world you take up, which is actually so much more empowering than you realize. Understanding that there are people out there with radically different viewpoints, radically different cultures, who would find your life insane and you find their life insane, but you kind of connect on a level that's away from all of that. You know, it just makes you so much more of like a bigger person when you enter conversations with people, when you watch shows and you listen to podcasts. You just kind of start to do everything with a much more open mind because you've actually seen that, like, you have this idea. When I really had it before I left Ireland, like in 2010, I had this idea, like, this is what what life is like. This is what ambitions are. This is what people want to do. This is how people live. This is just life, because I live it this way and everyone else lives it this way. And then you go away and you think, like, I'm so wrong. Like, this is how I live in my pocket of the world. And, you know, there's so much more out there, and there's so many different types of people, and I'm really lucky to have my pocket of the world. And I think a lot of people travel and they come home and they really love home more and they love their life more, but they know now what's out there. So I just think it broadens your mind so much, and it gives you so much more tolerance and patience and like joy from other people, I think.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think everyone, when they have their first little trip to Thailand, you see people living, even I think it was the Buddhist religion that fascinated me when I first started in Thailand. And the culture was just so, so different. I remember seeing women outside the like nail places and massage parlors. And I remember thinking, like, they can't be making that much money, like sitting there for, you know, like the time, hour, like I always thought I had to get paid a decent amount per hour to be happy, but they were actually sitting there and not worried about making that much money. It's like they were just providing a service to the community. It was more like this kind of service, community, happiness, not about careers, you know. Like, it was just it didn't make sense to me at the time, but I think I started reading about Buddhism and it really kind of showed me what their culture was like. And then obviously traveling, meeting people from with such different views. Yeah. And I think from being from Ireland, you know, we say it is a small pocket of the world relative to the size of it. And the way I thought you had to live, you know, I'm sure you were the same growing up. You're like, okay, need to get married, have kids, get a mortgage, get a house. And not saying there's anything wrong with that, but just I didn't realize there were other options. And I think when you go traveling, you're like, oh, okay, like you're meeting people in their 50s that, you know, don't have any solid roots, but they're living the dream, you know. And I was like, okay, there are options. There are options. You don't, you're not a failure if you didn't climb the career ladder in a certain way. And then, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. I always like emphasize that. I was always like, this is the way I'm living my life. And I just want to show people there are options. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with your life. Do you find that pressure as well?
I think what I find is that if you're stuck in that mentality of like, this is the right way, you know, have the mortgage and have the kids, not everyone's going to feel that pressure, right? You're when you get to like 35 years old, which I am now, you're very hyper aware of all the pressures and all the points you're meant to be at, and you get a bit stressed out by it. But if you stay in that pocket, it becomes, there is a right and wrong way. So it becomes, no, I'm going to, this is having a mortgage, having kids, having a husband, that is the wrong way. I'm going to go travel the world and I'll tell everyone that this is the best way to do it. And you start thinking that there is one right way and wrong way to do life. Mm-hmm. And I think when you actually get out there, you're like, there are people blissfully happy doing, living life like thousands of different ways. And you kind of get out of that mindset of like, your way is better or your way is the best. Yeah. And other people's way is worse than yours. Whereas you're like, you're really happy, I'm really happy. Like,
yeah, I always found people got offended if, or, you know, I'm, or people who took offense to my message, I found were people who weren't happy in themselves. And you're, so like people who were, you know, some of my friends, you know, happily married in their gorgeous houses, and they are happy for me and my life. And it was always, I think, the people that were kind of triggered by it, because it realized that it was something inside them that maybe they realized they wanted that bit more, and maybe weren't going for it, or missed a chance, or something like that. So, yeah, I always think like, if you're happy in your own life, no need to make any changes. Yeah. It's only if, you know, you feel that, if it is kind of waking up an idea in you. This is probably a question you get asked all the time, but I actually don't know. I was thinking like, I actually don't know. But what is your favorite country?
Oh, I get asked this a lot. It's impossible. Yeah. It's like a parent being asked their favorite kid. Like, you just can name good qualities of everything.
Okay, do you know what I'll ask you instead? I'll say, like, what do you look for when you're deciding where to go? When you're like, okay, I've got a couple of weeks off now.
Yeah.
What are the factors you look for in planning a trip for yourself?
So the first thing I look for, the first thing I ask myself is, am I looking for adventure and chaos? Or am I in the middle of chaos and I need peace, right? So that's the first thing I'll ask myself, because I pretty much have two modes. I've done too much, I need to chill, or I'm doing too much. You know, I want to do more. I want chaos.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll ask the two things. I'll probably then check weather, which is why I get asked about weather, because I do talk about it a lot. And where is a good place to go? I think once those two are set, what I kind of start to do is I go on to Google Maps. And I like,
oh yeah, browse, the famous stars.
I browse Google Maps. I just like actually zoom right in on Google Maps a lot of the time. And I just zoom in on countries I've been to and countries I haven't been to. And I just like click the stars and I street view the streets. And I browse Google Maps kind of like a catalog, essentially, like see what's there. And then,
do you see yourself sitting on that beach?
Yeah, and that's it. Like one of my favorite trips we went on was because we flew over it in a plane. It was an island, and I had no idea what it was. And we flew over it in a plane, and I knew where we'd taken off from, and I knew how long we'd been on the plane. I'd taken a picture from the air, and I went to where we were going. And I spent about 3 days Google mapping until I found the island and planned a trip there. So it's very much like, you know, a lot of our great trips are based off a picture I see, or a pin I find, essentially. And that's usually what it's based around. And it's just, if I want a bit of calm and a bit of chill, I'll go back to somewhere I've been before. And if I want to just really kind of jump in and experience something new, I'll go somewhere new that I haven't been.
And which was your favorite?
Countries were my favorite. So I'll try and like, I think that there, I have a few, right? Thailand's the best all-rounder, right? Just for familiarity, it's easy, it's got a whole mix of different things. You can go to the national parks, you can go to temples, food, islands, everything. Laos is probably the country that I left and I thought to myself, I can't believe I'm leaving. This is when you were in my house, so we had to go back. But I was like, I cannot, like, I don't want to leave this place. So I think that was my favorite country. That was the best time I had in a new country, Laos.
I've never been. My problem is that I'm the complete opposite to you. I'm just familiarity, and I'm a bit lazy with planning. So, you know, went to Thailand once on a retreat and stayed for a couple of weeks after by myself.
Mm-hmm.
and loved it. And, you know, I kind of was forced into exploring because I didn't have a plan. And like, it was such a great experience. But then, of course, then every time I went traveling, I was like, I did like Thailand and I know where I'm going, so I'll just keep going back there.
Yeah.
And then I think one time I was like, I'll go to Vietnam, and I didn't sort out the visa in time, and I was in the airport and I couldn't get on the flight, and I was like, okay, I'll just go back to Bali. So I was terrible pretending to be a travel blogger. I just kept going to the same places. So I was like, let's not call myself that anymore. And actually, I really want to talk to you about Bali.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously you were, I'd say, like the OG. What year did you first go? It was before 2018.
Anyway. First year we were here was 2014. It's the first year I was here.
2014. Wow. Jeez. Yeah. So I was like, you're going to be a perfect person to talk about like now and then. So talk to me about your Bali adventure or journey, or, you know, up to this point.
Sure.
Well, or how did, you know, even up to 2018 when I first met you.
Yeah, up to 2018. Well, 2014 I came, and when I came there, there was no real, like, there wasn't much of a Seminyak. There was none of a Canggu. And we stayed in Kuta. And if you've never been to Bali.
Well, it's probably different. It's probably very different.
Very different. Well, it was getting there. Kuta is like closest to the airport. So if you haven't been to Bali, it's like the closest town to the airport. So it became this point where everyone would just hop off the plane and stay in Kuta. And it became this very like fun party, mushroom taking, you know, club, seedy bit. It was kind of like Santa Ponsa, vibes in Bali.
Yeah.
So we stayed there with my friends, and we had a really nice time. We went to the Gillies, and it was all very like quiet and beautiful. And then I came back with Tim in 2016, and we went for a drive up to this new place we'd heard about called Canggu. And we went to Seminyak this time. And it was still quiet enough. Like it was nice, but it was really much more walkable than it is now.
Yeah. Seminyak is all streets or like, you know, with pavements.
Yes. So you can walk around a little bit. And we were like, let's get on the bike and let's head up to this place we've heard about. You know, it's called Canggu, and we'll see what it's like. So we drove up and we were like, what is this place? Like, nobody's here. There's nothing on the beaches. Like, Seminyak has very clean, like cleaner beaches, or had at least, and hotels out on the beaches, and there's a bit more on there. Whereas it was just like shacks on the beach and surf schools, and that was it. So we just didn't like it. We thought there's nothing here, like we'd be really bored in Canggu because it's so empty. I think it was Prerna, and like closer to Prerna we went to, and then we left, and then we came back then 2018, and we stayed in Seminyak again for a month, and then we went back up to Canggu. It was completely different, and we went and we got a villa there for a year. We signed a lease, first place we saw within like 10 minutes we just rented this place for a year, and it was just stunning. It was just an amazing year.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, renting a villa, it always sounds like the dream. I was only saying this yesterday. I was like, I have to stop calling the flat in London the villa. Like when I first came back here, I was like, oh, it's in my villa. I was like, sorry, I mean flat. But I mean, I used to like, what constitutes a villa? A pool? I don't know. But that villa was stunning. But yeah, so 2018 is when I landed into Canggu. And at the time I loved it because it was, I think, again, more like traveling around Thailand where you just wear your Birkenstocks and your shorts and bikini tops, and you might end up out that night dressed like that.
Yeah.
You know, you're in old man's. But there was a lot of, I mean, the reason I came to Bali and was like, right, this is actually, because I had been doing a lot of back and forth to Thailand.
Yeah.
And I had packed up into a suitcase and I went to Thailand for a week, but my friends were going to Bali. And I said, oh, I don't want to go anywhere new. I was just happy in Thailand, and landed into Bali. And I was like, actually, this is great for living. Whereas I thought, like, Thailand is great for exploring and probably if you do find somewhere to settle. But I always say, like, Bali had the Australian cafes, you know, the Australian influence in the food. So the food was just so good. You know, I always say, like, I'd love to see how many avocados are used in Canggu in a day. But like, I was really excited about it. Everything was like, I would say it was like built for Instagram nearly.
Yeah.
I think it's gotten even worse. But in 2018, it felt really, well, for me, it was exciting. It was casual, but fun. Yeah. It was people who were in the same kind of mindset. You know, it was people who were traveling, but also doing a bit of work. They were training. So I loved, what I loved about CrossFit Wanderlust at the time was that, you know, you're training hard, but then they were going to the beach for a beer in the evening, which in Thailand, I was kind of going to like training camps where it was very the opposite. And I loved that balance. And oh, I just was like, and here is my new home. And then, well, what's that like nearly 5 years ago now? Yeah. So What do you, so you're in Bali now, yes. If anyone doesn't know, you're staying, you've based yourself in Canggu, haven't you?
No, we're like close to it. We're Batu Balig, so we're in between and Canggu.
Okay, yeah. So that road. So what do you find is the difference? Obviously, I could see a lot of differences happening. I've been there from like 2018 up until middle of April, until end of April 2022.
Yes.
That was only less than a year ago. Yeah, so I was there this time last year. And I noticed a huge difference. Obviously, we had the pandemic in between, but just when the borders reopened and the busyness and the lack of planning permission for things, I think it just became very built up very fast.
Yeah.
And someone who had been there in 2014 went back now, what would their impression be?
Oh my God, I don't think I believe it. Even if 2016 me came up here, I don't think I believe it. Like, hearing you say about we go out in the day and we just be in a bikini and shorts and we just stay out all night and end up we go to sandbar in the evening and stuff, that just doesn't feel like the vibe so much anymore. It's not the majority vibe.
It's a lot snazzier.
Like, we went to Nusa Penida. I went on my own for a few days last week and I had no shoes on for half that. I had no shoes on and I just wore bikini top and shorts and I just kind of walked places. And I remember thinking, this definitely felt more like what Canggu. Now, Penida's obviously a lot more idyllic, but it felt a little bit more like it. Whereas here, sometimes I feel like you need to dress up a little bit more, or you need to.
Yeah. I know,
which is strange.
Yeah, definitely. Which I said, so annoying. I'm like, how am I supposed to have nice hair and wear a helmet on the bike and drive in the rain and turn up to these fancy restaurants looking good? And like, there's some girls, I'm like, how did you get here like that? How did you sit on a bike in that dress? But it is, and I think it's the secret is out. You know, that's the thing. You know, we were there saying, I blame myself. I'm like, Bali is so amazing. You need to come here. And then everyone came, and I'm like, oh wait, hold on.
It's still good though. Like, it still has, like, the thing is like, where that, you know, when you first started to travel, and when I first started, 2016 was when I really took off, right? And I met a lot of people who were in places that I thought were beautiful. Like, I'd go to Koh Lanta, I went to Koh Mak, I went to loads of Thai islands and through the Philippines. And everywhere I went, I'd meet at least one person who would have like a bit of a chip on their shoulder about the place.
Yeah.
And I'd be standing,
like the good old days.
Yeah, and I'd be standing there looking at the beach, looking at the sunset and thinking, I'm so happy to be here. I love this so much. And then there'd be someone being like, oh, you didn't see it before. And I used to just hate that because I'm like, give me my moment, you know? Like, things change. And then I definitely find that being back here, I've definitely felt in that mindset a few times where I've felt like, oh, it's done now. And then you kind of think like there's so many people here enjoying themselves. Like, we got a really good slice of it. Like, we got really lucky.
Yeah.
We got just such a great time there. Here, and it's
I've seen, sorry to cut across you, I'm really bad at that. I've been watching your stories, and what I've noticed, and you know, I'm probably that person, I said, like, a little bit chip my shoulder going, oh, back in the good old days, you don't know how good it used to be. But what I've noticed the last couple of weeks when you're in Bali, you are showing the beauty is still there. So, like, I've seen you going off finding the waterfalls and hidden gems, and that's what I love to see. I'm like, oh yes, Bali is beautiful, especially if you just take the right perspective of it. And so how are you finding these hidden gems now, because I imagine they're a little bit more difficult?
Well,
or do you want to tell any secrets?
No. Honestly, it's all on Google Maps. I just, like, if I have like spare time, I'll just, you know, the way people scroll the news, I will just scroll on Google Maps. I'll just kind of zoom in on all these pockets. And we had this talk about, like, driving around the whole island, just the outskirts of it, on a road trip. So I've been kind of like mapping out little towns and then just planning trips. And I guess the thing is just like making it happen, which is, I find, a hard thing in Canggu, because you get very set. Like, Canggu is a very routine based place. I always say it's gym, coffee, work. And there's just those three things over and over again, which is something that's frustrating me about it recently, because I'm like, there's a fourth aspect to life, which is adventure, you know, gym, coffee, work, adventure.
Yes.
And I'm trying to, like, get my friends and say, look, let's just go and have the adventure part. You know, life can't be all gym, coffee, work. That's why we left where we were, right? Why we left London, why we left places, it wasn't just to have like evenings and weekends. Like, we wanted days where we adventured. So I just kind of started like going online and just going on Google Maps and basically just kind of zooming in a lot, finding little towns, reading a lot of Google reviews.
Yebecause Bali is huge. You know, like we were talking about, like we, when I think when people picture coming to Bali, they just picture Canggu.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's obviously that's spreading, you know, there's Pereiranan, like, you know, people are, it's going to continue spreading. You know, we'll probably have this conversation about Pereiranan in 5, 10, how many years?
6 months. Probably.
But obviously there's going to be, there has to be somewhere, you know, new place to find that was Canggu before. And I suppose that that's part of the adventure is like exploring more and not just following. And like, I think you're probably the kind of person who will do the exploring and then I'll show up again.
Exactly. And then just go to them. But it's good. I'm really enjoying it. Like I set that as a goal when I was coming back. I said, I'm going to go every week to somewhere new. We live like on the outskirts of Canggu. And instead of driving into Canggu to go for lunch or coffee, I'll go into Seminyak or I'll drive another direction. I find little beaches, I'm finding little beach cafes. There's a whole section right behind where we live, which is like a massive rice field with cafes built all around it. That's just stunning.
Oh, wow.
I'd never been there before. I hadn't found it before. So I think I'm seeing like a nicer side to it, not staying in the middle of Canggu or the middle of Seminyak, just being right on that cusp of like the two of them.
So if anyone isn't thinking of going to Bali, follow Steph. You know, because sometimes I say, like, I think I just left when it was just getting hectic. And I almost, you know, I've kind of had that almost like a negative feeling. And or I see people go on holidays. And I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to say don't go or, you know, but then I forget that there is, you know, there's just a different way to look at it. Like there you can go and explore and have a great time and take advantage of the sunsets and the gorgeous scenery. And but anyway, so what I wanted to talk about actually is, you know, so a way that you travel, which I used to do at the start, was on a budget. You know, I think it comes down to my, I suppose like my laziness in planning, you know, like I'm very like, okay, what's comfortable, what's easy, you know, what has everyone else done? So I'll pay for it, you know, so that's like, but obviously ideally everyone would like to save a bit of money. But do you find, so obviously you've got your budgeting plans, is that what you call them?
Savings plans.
Budget plans? Saving plans.
Yeah.
And I've seen people literally having, like, paying for weddings, paying for houses out of, from using these saving plans. And I love it because you're using your Excel, Excel skills from, you know, which is, I really think they should teach Excel in school because it is such a great program. I only figured, like, I had to learn it in my job my first job, and I was like, wow, this is so handy. Now, I used to make my own little budget every month and it didn't work. But
that's more realistic, so, if you stick to it.
Yeah, I know, that was the hard part. But so how do you, like, would you come up against many people who think they can't travel because of money? And what do you say to them? Or do you just say, use my savings plan?
Use my savings plan. But also, I think, I'm, you know what, recently I've been meeting two groups of people, right? There's a group of people who are like, I can't travel, I don't have the money, which was literally me when I met Tim. And I knew he didn't come from a lot of money. I knew he was just like us, like paycheck to paycheck, owing parents money at the end of the month kind of thing. And he had told me he had backpacked through Australia and Asia. And I was like, "You, how are you doing that? Like, that's for rich people. Like, rich, like, do you have a trust fund or something?" And there's that mindset that travel is too expensive to do, which isn't correct. Like, you can do it on any budget. And I like to tell people, like, the realities of travel and how little you can travel on. Like Vietnam, you can stay in like a private room in a really cool hostel with breakfast for a fiver. You can stay in a dorm bed for about €2.50. You can eat on the street for hardly anything, and you can actually have like a good trip on a budget. But what I'm increasingly finding is people who, like, they don't want the hostel life and they don't want street food.
Yeah.
They want to have a lot
That's
of
me.
Like Instagram
I like
experiences
street food.
And the nice experiences. But they want to do that on a really tight budget, and that's harder.
Yeah, yeah. So they're looking for the, like what I said, like the comfort and the, the location and everything, but wanting to do that on a budget. Yeah,
yeah.
And you do, because you do travel planning calls. Yeah. So if anyone actually is looking to plan a big trip, like this is what I would definitely need. Like I, again, like just someone else tell me where to show up and what to do, and I'll be there. So you have travel. You plan travel for people for just short trips, long trips, or how does it work?
It's up to a year. It's pretty much anyone who's going on a trip. I don't do agenting, so I don't like have any like ties with any hotels or airlines and stuff like that, so it's kind of not nice. It's totally independent. And essentially, like, you come to me and you're like, I want to go to Asia for 3 weeks in April. I don't know what country and I don't know where and I don't know what I want to do. And then we just get on a call for an hour, video call. And then I usually just open up the map and I show you what countries are nice. And I show you, like, because I know the countries really well. So I'd be like, this sounds like has what you want, that, you know, you want relaxation and you want a spa retreat or you want X, Y, and Z, but your budget's this. And I just like pinpoint the country and then just create like this kind of like maybe 20 to like 100 page plan with all your accommodations.
Yeah, no, I've seen them. They are
crazy.
Extensive.
Extensive.
Yeah.
All the research.
And you're actually, that brings me nicely on to the next thing, because you were doing that and that was flying. I even remember when you were staying in my villa before the pandemic. You know, you were so busy with it, but obviously then the world changed and travel was no longer a moneymaker.
Yes, yes.
Tell us how, and then you pivoted very well. I mean,
still busy.
I mean, obviously in life and all, no one really knew what they were doing. You know, I mean, I know you went to Malaysia for a couple of months. Mm. Like no one, I think it was a hard thing for us that didn't really have an official home.
Yeah.
Home. Like, you know, like it was kind of like, where do we go? How long are we staying here? Where's our next move? What do we do? And for you, it was probably even harder because you were like, okay, how do I make money now?
Yeah. Like the bottom kind of fell out of the business. I had been working towards like travel. I've created the blog and the blog was like, had been like, monetized and SEO'd at this point. So I was getting, not just through Instagram, my Instagram wasn't huge, I don't think, for a lot of the time then, but you know, it was still pretty small, but it was SEO'd and I was earning an income. I was doing travel planning. It was all going really well. And then literally like overnight, obviously all my travel planning calls canceled because clearly they're not going away. And the affiliates and the ad revenue and all the stuff that I was coming in was gone. And my income went down to zero in the space of a few days, which was terrifying, to be honest, because I felt like I'd spent years working for it. And there was no, which we all recognized at the time, there was no inkling, no indication over when this would go back to normal, but everybody knew it wasn't going to be soon, you know? So I cried a little bit, quite a lot. I was like, everything's gone. You know, my Instagram following was just every day dropping, dropping, dropping. My travel blog was going down and it, you know, I wasn't working. And I kind of had a little bit of a crisis of like, what am I going to do?
And you were in an apartment in Malaysia, like locked in.
Locked in.
Like, so, I mean, mental health couldn't have been great.
Mental health at the time was, I won't say all time low because the next few years weren't that easy, but it was pretty much a really tough one because you were with me obviously before we went to Malaysia, but our friend passed away a few days even before we left Malaysia.
Yeah.
So when we flew out, you know, he was such a great guy and he passed away, and then we flew to Malaysia and then we got locked in because it turned out the night we arrived, they were implementing a lockdown. So we were just in this apartment then for like a few months, just kind of figuring out what was left to do, you know? And then I went back to tech and just kind of fell back on my tech skills and started working on my
This is what I'm dying to talk about.
Yeah.
So tell me, so Steph My Life Bootcamps, is that what's the official name of the tech side of it?
Steph My Life Tech Bootcamps, Freelancer Bootcamps.
Tech Bootcamps, yeah. So who is it for? This, because I actually really do want to sign up on one of these things, like, when I get a chance. Because I've always been interested in tech. Like I even, you know, I did a bit of computer programming in college in my maths degree, but never, and it was something I thought I'd go into, like I wanted to do software. I wanted to do a master's in software, but I couldn't afford it. So I did a PT course. and here we are. So tell us about your background and then how you ended up setting up this business.
Yeah, so like I did a degree in it. So I did business information systems, which is like computer science mixed with like accounting and economics and business and a lot of stuff. And then I did that for 4 years, and then I got into tech in investment banking in London. So I built like risk systems for banks, essentially what we did. I worked in interest rate product risk. So we just, every day we calculate the trader's P&L, and it was a lot of spreadsheets because they still worked on spreadsheets at the time, 2010. And that's kind of what I worked in. So I did like C# mainly was what I worked in. And then we kind of quit our jobs in 2016 and we were like kind of almost turned our backs on tech a little bit. Because I was like, I don't want to do the 9-to-5 software development job. And then when the travel kind of dropped out of things, I was like, I'll just build websites, because I kind of built web-based finance applications for banks. And I kind of started building a website, and then I put up my Instagram, and someone on my Instagram said, I'd love to learn how to build a website. If you ever did a course, I'd sign on. So I'm sitting there like 24 hours a day in the same four walls in this apartment. So I was like, okay, does anybody else want to do that? So I created like a wait list, and then 12 girls, amazing, amazing girls, signed on, and I started the course, and then 12 more, and then 12 more, and it just kind of grew into what it is now.
Amazing. So what are they signing up to? So I mean, I have an idea of it, but yeah, I don't really get it. So explain to me.
Yeah, sure. So it's, the bootcamp's about 3 months right now. And what you learn is how to build self-hosted WordPress websites. So they're not like drag and drop Squarespace kind of ones. They're kind of, you learn a lot of CSS, we dip into PHP, and you really kind of learn the architecture of a website, right? And you learn how to build a website. But on top of that, you learn how to work with clients, and you learn how to charge, and you learn how to do proposals and client calls, and you learn how to market yourself on social media, pitch to people in emails. And like, kind of like, I took inspiration from the degree I did, because BIS was different to computer science in that they said that we're going to build software developers for finance, essentially. So they almost like didn't just teach us how to like tech and then just sent us off to anything. They specifically targeted us towards an industry that was quite lucrative that we were able to move into, which was my big draw for doing it in the first place, was that I knew that I would be able to get a job and walk out of it and get a job. So that was kind of the inspiration for the bootcamp, is you can go on YouTube and figure out how to model together a website that you can put online. But will you know how to market yourself and position yourself in the market, connect with clients, work well with clients, set your boundaries, communicate with them, get paid really well? You know, you won't. That comes through a lot of mistakes, and not many people have the time or the money or, like, you know, the means to make those mistakes. So it goes through the whole process of building a site, working with a client, and building a business, essentially.
And I love that, because it basically brings it back to giving people that life of freedom. You know, people who, they now have a source of income that they can use and be anywhere.
Exactly.
And do from anywhere.
Exactly.
So I love how it's like full circle. Like, you probably have meeting people in Bali that have done your course. Yeah. Have you? Or anyone made the leap?
Yeah, a few people have made the leap here. We have a lot of, which was really cool, we have a lot of young moms and new moms who want to stay at home with their kids, who do the course when they're pregnant, or they're on like,
maybe that's why I should do it.
Yeah, that's why you should do it. But it's awesome. So I get emails from them, and they're like, I was able to quit my job, and now I'm at home with my kid, I'm working, you know, with clients. And so that level of freedom was awesome too. So loads of our grads are traveling. Loads of them have gone down to part-time, a lot of them teach. So they go down to part-time and teaching and then transition away. And just a lot of them are just kind of moms able to stay at home.
Brilliant. And like, this is probably, yeah, the selfish part of the podcast where I just want to learn. But, you know, you mentioned SEO. This is something, and you said Squarespace, and my website is literally just, you know, built through Kajabi. You know, it's drag and drop.
Okay,
it's
yeah.
Very, like, I can do it, which means it's very, you know, it's just user friendly. But then I know nothing, like nothing about SEO. I get people messaging me every day trying to, you know, tell me they can do things for me, and, you know, they're probably just pitching. I'm very lucky in, like, you talk about pitching and everything with the business. Like, I'm lucky that I have the Instagram following that I'm not using my website to find people. I just direct people to it to sign up to the program. So, you know, I share everything. But what am I missing out on? Like, what are the advantages of SEO? And what, like, I don't really get it.
I'll explain it. I'm not going to get too technical, but I'm going to explain it to you. So, like, the difference between optimizing your site for SEO and marketing through Instagram, for example, is that if you market through Instagram and you just put up a story link, you're saying, I'm going to put this out to 200,000 people, and whoever's interested will click it. So I might find some people, so you'll get a percentage click rate of people who are interested, right? So you're putting it out to hundreds of thousands and a few people are interested. When you optimize for SEO, you're coming up in a Google search for someone who has specifically opened up a search browser and typed in a search for exactly what you do. So you've got this captive audience. So the conversion rate is so much higher. So if you can get ranked, and I was going to say the first page, but now they're ever scrolling, which is good. But if you can get ranked in the first 20 links, which is awesome, the amount of more money and income and conversions that you can make is huge. So my travel blog is optimized for SEO. A tiny fraction of that comes from my Instagram, just the smallest amount will come from there. And most of it comes from backpackers all around the world who don't even know who I am. And they just search for the cheapest way to get here, how to get a overland train here, how to find a beach hut there. And that's, they type it in and then my site comes up with exactly what they're looking for and they're able to click in.
Okay. And so that's manipulated by just the wording on the website, or is it like deeper?
It's a whole bunch of factors. It's a, like it's keyword. You pick your keywords. So you pick what you want to rank for, and then you distribute them really well throughout your content. So you kind of, your page will have a certain amount of headers. You'll have H1 headers, which are like primary headers, and then H2, H3, H4, H5, H6. And each one of them will kind of structure the content in a certain way to say, here's the second most important title, the third most important title. And you distribute your keywords throughout that. And then you distribute your keywords throughout the content. Then you add things like image alt tags. So you'll give your images an alt tag with the
is that like a description of the picture? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You'll be asked to do it whenever you, no matter what like website you're on, you'll be asked to add an alt tag. So there's a real, like, Google literally tells you what they want to see from you. If you read it online, they literally say, we want to see this, 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 and this. And you just tick all the boxes and it rewards you, because Google has these crawlers essentially, and they crawl your site and they crawl all your pages. They crawl all the pages on the internet and they will crawl it and see what keywords come up a lot and what tag they're in. So what importance they have. And then they will also crawl the sites that your site links to and the sites that other sites will link to. So if many other sites link to your site, that's really good for you, because it kind of increases your, what's it called? It's called a domain authority. It increases that. So you're kind of standing on the internet. So if a lot of people link to you, your site seems more important. So you get people to link. But if it's just one way linking where they link to you and you link to them, that's not counted as much, because that's kind of seen as trying to manipulate it. Yeah. So you have to have these organic links. So it's so interesting. So these crawlers just crawl all your pages and they make assumptions about your site and they start kind of gathering that information, and then they pick, kind of decide on authority for your site and how important that is. And then based on all these factors, it will decide when someone types in certain words where you should rank for that. And you can
So then the people that do your course, are they able to so would they come to me now and do my website for me, or am I better off doing the course myself
for
and
SEO?
Learning how to do it myself? Yeah.
For building the site, or for SEO, they don't learn SEO on the course. It's a follow-on course from.
Okay. Okay.
It's much more in depth.
Oh, so they're more the actual building.
They do the building.
Oh yeah. So then tell me about that. Like, what are the advantages of having, you know, I've seen people with calorie calculators on their website and I'm like, is that what I'm missing? Is that what I'm missing out on by having more of a like easy to design one that I've done myself? You know, is that the advantage of having your own? Self-built website?
Yeah, it's the difference between owning your own house and renting in a condo, like a high-rise apartment. You know, you have a landlord.
Classic me, I'm always renting.
If you're in a condo or something, and you're like Squarespace or WordPress.com or something like that, you can't put a nail in the wall. You know, you're completely confined. You can't build an extension on the 24th floor. You know, you are locked in. And it's convenient. And a lot of people choose them for convenience. Maybe they plan to move on one day when they've got the budget, or maybe they don't need a bigger space. They're just happy where they are. But if you ever want to, with a self-hosted website like the Graduates Build, you buy a piece of land on the internet, you buy space on a server that's just yours and your name, and then you can put anything on it. So you just install our software and you can build that out. You know, you can start as a blogger, and like I did, and you can build out an e-commerce site for guides. You can add revenue, you can add affiliate links. I can take, you know, my bookings for travel planning are all on there, and I can just add extensions. I can have an idea on a Friday and I can launch it on a Monday, and I don't have to pay any more for that. And I think with other kind of condos sites like Squarespace and Shopify and things like that, if you want to extend, often they're like, okay, that your price is going to jump up to like 300 a year, to 400 a year, to 1,000 a year. If you want to earn money, we earn a portion of your money. Whereas if you own your land and you own your house, you don't give your money to anyone. You make all the money. You give, you know, 2.9%
that makes so much sense
to Stripe, but that's it. So it's a no-brainer if you got the budget.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, a lot of the time, I'm more about time than money.
Yeah.
So that would be, and look, and it's probably, and convenience, you know, like, so yeah. This is where I end up spending more when I travel. Yeah. I end up renting because, you know, I don't want to wait and save for a mortgage, or I end up with my website on Kajabi because I don't, because time wise it was easier. And but then, so that's the idea. Like, I could go to one of your graduates and they could build me my own space. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
And they can pull a lot of information across and they can transfer it. And, you know, once you've got content, if you have an existing website, you've got content, you've got a color scheme, you've got your copy, your images, everything there. So you just kind of drag them into something new, but you also get to say, oh, I want to upgrade it a little bit. This needs to be faster. This needs more functional. This thing bugs me and I hate it. Can you make it do this other thing? And they're like, yeah, because you can, even with a WordPress site, look, what we do, you can just go onto the server and you can just play around with the code and change a function. Like, you can just change the functionality of something and you've got this access to the code that you don't have if it's locked away by, you know, Kajabi and Squarespace.
Very interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize there was so much potential to make money away from Instagram. You know, like, as you said, like, just through SEO. But I imagine that's a difficult one. Obviously, everyone's just, the goal is to be the top of the list. And I'm sure it's like a competitive market out there.
It is, but I'm not top, right? I'm not optimized to the point that I'm the top. There's a lot of bad SEO there where things will rank top and then the keywords will just be in there, but the article won't even be related to the keywords. There's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
But I'm like medium for SEO, and still, like, the difference between when my SEO kicked in, because when you optimize for SEO, you have to wait a little bit and tweak it before it kicks in. When it kicked in, my affiliates were paying out, like, probably, you know, went from paying out like 60 each to paying out 500 each. You know, immediately. Nice. In a month, that each affiliate, you know, things like that, you know, so it really does impact your income when it works, and that's with a medium ranking.
Yeah, it's such a great, I mean, I hope people realize, like, listen to this, that there are so many different ways that you can make money. Yeah. And that's what I try and show, like, even little things, like affiliate links are really handy, especially when it's something that, you know, you're happy to recommend. Like, I'm talking about the Whoop the other day, and, you know, people are late, and it's like, yeah, it's something, you know, it's a great way, I think, for businesses, customers, and I think it's a great way to make money. Obviously, you need a bit of an audience for affiliate links, but then obviously it's SEO brings that up more. Yeah, I never thought of that. You know, I thought, oh, it's kind of, there's no point in telling people to start using affiliate links if they haven't got an audience to click on.
Exactly.
But SEO helps with that.
You don't need to be known in any way, shape or form with SEO. I have an SEO course on the site, and it's add you onto it, but it's just standalone SEO explained, hopefully in like very simple terms, which is, like I said, Google publishes what it wants you to do, and people just don't go to the effort to break down what they mean. But I'm lucky because I did a tech degree, so I can understand what they mean by a lot of things. And then I just break that down into normal terms. And then you just do the steps and you kind of start paying attention to your analytics and everything starts to jump. It's actually fascinating. It's such an interesting thing to do.
I'd be really interested. As I said, like, I've always kind of, even doing the programming, like, I'd love to get back into it. Like, I really enjoyed program. I remember even you put up the thing where you could do a little game.
Shoppy Bird.
To like, I remember putting Sinead's face on it. It was really funny.
And
I was like so proud of him. I was like, look what I did. But yeah, God, we've covered a lot there from travel to tech. But that is you. It is, you know, I think, you know, people click on your page and they just see all the pretty pictures, but they don't know all the work and the you're like a genius is what I'm trying to say. Like, I can't think of the word. but you're entrepreneurial, you've got a business head, and you work so hard. That's one thing I've always known from knowing you. I'm like, chill. But you know, seeing the success you have and the passion you put into everything, like even your travel planning goals, I couldn't believe when I saw the first one that you'd written out. I was like, that's the level of detail you go for people. So like, I that's why I wanted to get you on. Like, I've no qualms about recommending anyone to go to you for anything, because everything you do is such high quality, and it's inspirational.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Keep it up. It makes me, you know, I was like, it inspires me, but also, yeah, it makes me realize I should be probably working a bit harder.
Oh my God. I see you wake at like 5 o'clock every morning and I'm thinking like,
doing my yoga. Here. That's not making me money. But I need, I need to probably put a bit more into my website and that, and not just rely on Instagram, because you know that could go any day. Maybe if I do SEO, then I don't have to do TikToks.
Yes, exactly. SEO is definitely a lot easier than TikToks.
We will obviously have your website for your blog, for your tech boot camps and everything in the show notes, and your Instagram is Steph My Life.
Mm-hmm.
And do you want to tell people why it's Steph My Life?
Oh, because I was creating it and I was trying to do Steph ML, like FML, F My Life, and I couldn't get Steph ML, so I got Steph My Life instead of F My Life. So it's been a very positive account, considering it started with FML.
I know. And no one would get that. When you first told me, I was like, I never got that. But thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been great.